how common are these databases?
There's about 14 states that have them right now, but there's about another 20 to 30 that are either in the process or seriously considering putting together one of these databases.
And if you were a state, why would you want to have one of these databases?
There's a couple of reasons. A lot of researchers seem to think that by having this information in one place, that we can track prices, we'll know how much things cost, that that may ultimately reduce healthcare spending. But it's also a way to figure out who's getting what are the demographics of your state, who's getting what kind of medical treatment and where.
What are the reasons that a state might not want an all-payer claims database tracking this information?
Well, it's difficult to set up. They can be expensive. There's a lot of work that goes into putting them together. So I think that there is that concern about how complicated will this be to pull all this together. And sometimes the insurers don't want to give this information. So many of the states that have passed legislation have made it mandatory that the insurers have to provide this information.
For the insurer, why would you potentially not want to do that?
You don't necessarily want to let all your competitors know what you're paying, for example. And the hospitals haven't always been welcoming to this as well, because they don't necessarily want everybody to know what they are charging various insurers for various different treatments either.
And in the states that do have these databases and do have people looking at the numbers, how have we seen that impact price?
I think in New Hampshire, the jury is still a little bit out on that. There was a study done not too long after they started this that didn't show a lot of change in the price variability from one place to another. But more recent efforts have looked at prices, and they have seen some changes. But what most of the experts are telling me is this information alone isn't really enough to change consumer behavior and therefore maybe price.
If access to this information isn't enough to change the way that patients shop, what else do they need?
What they're finding in New Hampshire is that there needs to be some kind of incentive, you know, to shop around. Why would you shop around if it was going to cost you, the insured person, the same amount? So what the insurers have done is actually create some new insurance designs that hit the consumer with some financial penalties if they go to the more expensive places.
So that's for people with insurance. What about people who are uninsured?
That is probably the group that's finding these most useful, because they can go online and find out, well, how much will that mammogram cost me? And there can be some huge variations.
And do they tell you anything about the quality of the care?
That's been one criticism of these databases by folks, that there isn't a lot of information about quality. So bottom line is, there's not a lot of data right now.
These databases are just one way of looking at what healthcare actually costs. What else is out there?
In California, the California Public Employees Retirement System looked at how much they were spending for hip and knee replacements, and they said, you know what, we're going to set a ceiling price of $30,000, and that's all we're going to pay. And if people want to go to a more expensive hospital, they'll pay the difference. And what they found is that, yes, indeed, people did switch to the lower price places, but interestingly, the biggest savings came from hospitals themselves lowering their prices. So a lot of folks look at that as another example of how price transparency can perhaps change the market.